Welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering. I'm so happy you're here, and I want to thank you for saying yes to the possibility of inviting, inspiring, and igniting love into your life with your right guy. I'm thrilled to welcome you and women from all over the world to this global virtual gathering, which is designed to support you on your journey to deep, satisfying love. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, also known by many as your guide to the right guy. And I'm very passionate about supporting you on your journey to the relationship of your dreams because it has only been 9 short years since I myself got support after a long and winding journey to love and became an ecstatic first-time bride marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And now I'm so blessed to support amazing women throughout the world who want to enjoy the satisfaction, contentment, and joy of a committed relationship with a man they love, admire, and respect, the kind of man who loves, cherishes, and adores them. And I want that for you too. If you're a woman who's taken a short or even a long hiatus from dating but wants to start dating again, or are currently dating and want to know more about men and how to improve your confidence and skills in your relationships, or are even in a relationship but wonder if it could be better, then congratulations, because you're in the right place. And I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you have the relationship you've always dreamed of. And together, we're setting an intention to provide you with the best we have so that you can move through those things that may be slowing you down in your love life toward an extraordinary relationship. I'm so thrilled and honored to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I can assure you, you will likely want to take a few notes. And also, please check out the VIP upgrade packages at readyfortheRightGuy.com/VIP, as you'll get supplementary resources that go along with each of the conversations. So it's my privilege to introduce our wonderful guest expert and my friend, Cherry Norris. Welcome, Cherry. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and that was a beautiful introduction. I could just sit here and just listen to you just continue to talk. I mean, that was just beautiful how you present and who you're being. Just beautiful. Grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. That really touched my heart for you to say that. That was very kind. I want to share with you a little bit about Cherry before we get started, and I just think she's an amazing woman, and I feel so blessed that we are able to have her here with us today. Since 2002, Cherry Norris has been coaching smart, successful women by giving fun, fail-proof tips and strategies to help them have better romantic relationships with men. She even made a full-length feature film called Duty Dating, a romantic comedy about a woman who must learn how to date so she could meet and marry her man. The film is based on the best-selling book Getting to I Do by Dr. Pat Allen. Cherry applied what she learned about dating and relationships and met her husband Lorenzo while sailing the Amalfi Coast in Italy. They were hot and happily married for 13 years. Having experienced everything she teaches you, Cherry has been there, done it, botched it, learned it, and now she's here to help you. I'm excited about our conversation today because Cherry will share with you some things that will be incredibly valuable to you. And the theme of our conversation is centered around how to meet a quality man, get him to approach you in less than 6 seconds, and know if he's romantically interested within 15 minutes. Cherry, I'd love if you would share a little bit about your experience. You call yourself a former dating disaster who ended up in a hot and happy marriage, and I know that it will give a lot of women hope to hear a little bit about your story and your experiences.
Well, thank you, Michelle. That is absolutely true. I was a disaster when it came to dating and men and relationships, and I really never fully understood why. I mean, I was relatively attractive, and I had a good job, and I was liked among my girlfriends kind of thing. But when it came to men and relationships, I would just botch one thing after another, and I couldn't figure it out. It was just driving me crazy. It was a bit of an obsession. And so I actually did have, I was just debating about, do I want to go there or not? I actually did have a short marriage when I was 24. I got married at my grandfather's place on the lake because it was on the market, and I wanted to get married there all my life since the time I was a little girl. All my cousins had gotten married there. And so I met a man who fit a checklist in my head of what I thought I wanted as a perfect guy. I mean, he had the right college education. He was from the right family. He lived in the right neighborhoods. He had the right job. He was just a laundry list of what I thought was the perfect man. And so I married him, and we built a house. And within 6 months, we were getting a divorce because I had no idea what I was doing or what a marriage entailed. And I just knew when I left that relationship that I didn't want to do that again, but I didn't know what else to do differently. And so I literally, like, went around in the desert for 20 years trying to figure out where's the water and where do I go, what do I do. And so I was in Los Angeles, and I still am in Los Angeles, but I was in, you know, I moved here to produce films, and I started writing screenplays, and one of my friends and I were in the same position when it came to dating, and I was like, I just am screwing this up. And so another friend said, well, you need to go see this relationship person in Los Angeles named Dr. Pat Allen. And so I did. I actually called her. I called her for a 15-minute consult the first time I ever met her. And within that time, I literally was on the floor, bawled over, in tears, knowing that I would be single the rest of my life because if I didn't change something, because in the conversation, she told me what a big man I was. And I had never heard that expression, and it was just like getting socked in the stomach. It was so painful. And so I started practicing what Dr. Pat would tell me to do, and I would botch up one thing after another, and that my girlfriend and I would just howl. We would just die laughing, and I'd call her and say, you're not going to believe what happened this time. And she's like, you've got to write this stuff down. And that's what became the premise for Duty Dating. It's not a documentary on my love life. It's a narrative. However, it has a lot of the process of dating and meeting men and who we're being as women and what it entails to have a relationship and how it all works and how you can really orchestrate what you want to experience if you are more conscious and more mindful and have more skills and techniques to draw from while, you know, in a relationship or setting one up. And so I went on from there, from making Duty Dating, I was practicing with what I call a dress rehearsal relationship at the time with a man that would never have gone past 2 months, but because I was using what I was learning, we were together about 3 years. He ended up being the composer on the film, and when we worked together, that was the deal breaker for the romance. However, I learned a lot from him, and I was really appreciative of his being there so I could learn how to have a relationship. And so after the film was made, I wanted to go to Italy to research what I thought would be my next film that took place on this little island called Ponza off the coast of Rome. Mm-hmm. And my mother saw a sailing trip on this private boat. It's not one of these big cruise ships. It was like a 65-passenger. So she's like, do you want to go? And I'm like, yes, Mom. And so we go, and you know, she told me before going, well, you'll probably be the youngest guest on the boat. And what she didn't tell me was that she'd be the next youngest guest on the boat. So we went with an amazing group of people, but it wasn't the place to think about meeting a man. And yet there was this very cute French-Italian man on the boat who I noticed kept circling me, and I was skilled. I knew what was happening as it was happening, and I was just like watching it, like watching my own movie, if you will, of like, wow, this is happening. This is happening. And sure enough, I just used what I'd learned, what I'd been learning about relationships, and Lorenzo ended up moving to Los Angeles 6 months later, and we got married when I was 43, and it was an incredible experience. It really was. I mean, he would not be the person that I would put on paper as ever having anything in common or interest with. I mean, we were from two different cultures. We were 10 and a half years apart. We had different everything, family, economics, education, language. English was his third language. And yet, there was so much that worked, you know, energetically between us. He was a very strong compliment for me, and he made it known that he wanted me. And I, in the past, would have fled from that because it would have been so intense. But in this situation, I knew I was solid. You know, I was anchored. I was in ownership of my being, and so I said yes, and so we married. And yeah, and that's how when I got married, my girlfriends were asking, what did you do and how can I do it? And that's when I started coaching. Now here we are. And we had an amazing time together. If I use one word to describe our marriage, it would be fun. I mean, we had a good time. Mm. And then we reached a completion of it, which was really beautiful. I mean, just so beautiful, because it was apparent that he wanted to be back in Italy, and I didn't want to hold him hostage here, and I didn't feel called to go to Europe now anyway. I still feel called to be in Los Angeles. I'm invested here just in so many ways. And so we just made the agreement, you know, okay, the end of this is done. So let's tear up the paper. However, let's keep open the possibility that we will cycle back around or find each other later. Let's see what happens, you know, kind of thing. So when he left Los Angeles, literally, I take sunset beach walks. I'm a big beach walker. I live near the ocean, and I was down on the beach. I had dropped him off at the airport, and I said, you know, I'll wave to you from the beach. And he's like, yeah, I'll wave to you from the plane. And literally, the sunset, when I'm on the beach, crying, of course, because my heart was breaking with his leaving, but took a picture of the sunset, and then I get a text, and he's like, we're on the runway, big red plane, taking off. And he literally flew over me into the sunset. I took his picture. That was wild.
Wow.
And then he gets into Nice and takes a picture of the sunset as he's landing in Europe. And it was just so poetic. I mean, it was mythical in a way. Yeah. But we're still in touch, and it's all good, and it was just beautiful. Yeah. So it's a great love story.
It is a great love story. It is a wonderful love story all the way around, and I love that you're open to whatever the possibility is of the future, whatever that looks like and whatever that feels like, and that you were able to end it in a way, or complete it, as you say, in a way that felt so peaceful.
Yeah, it really is beautiful, and it's not even about being open in the future. It's really about being open in the moment, you know, just staying present to what is in the moment, and let it inform you. Because there's no way that I could have anticipated that Lorenzo and I would marry when I first met him. There's no way I would have ever thought that was possible. And when we married, there was no way I was shocked we made it 10 years. I remember thinking, wow, you know, we're doing this. This is really great. And then life shifts, you know, and situations happen, and then you have to reprioritize, and some of his priorities shifted to be back in his culture, which I completely support. And it's like you have to just be open to the whatever. You have to be open to what's presented and know, a deeper knowing, listening to your inner GPS and to who you're being in the moment, and know that you're informed enough to go wherever gives you the greatest peace, relief, or joy. And that's really it in life, in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting because I really believe that one of the biggest challenges that shows up in relationships are when we have big attachment to a certain outcome, whether it be early on in a relationship or later on in a relationship, and when we have expectations that we may or may not communicate or may not be agreed upon by the other person, and it often shows up that we have put our expectations upon someone else without them agreeing to them. And it's such a source of conflict. And if we can, like you said, be open to what is available and possible in the moment and not be so outcome focused and so attached to a certain outcome or a certain way that things can go, we can relax and enjoy our lives and our relationships so much more.
That's it. That's exactly it. I mean, my biggest shift was getting out of my head and into my body. And I find that's the biggest coaching point around the women I work with, and maybe the women you work with, is getting out of the idea of how you think it should look and how you think he should act and what you think the relationship should be, and into the reality of what is as it's happening, as it's revealing itself in the moment, because that's
right.
Where it all is. That's all we got. You know, that's all we got. And so we have to embrace the what is and know that it is being revealed moment to moment. And we have everything we need now. And we don't have what we need 10 minutes from now, because 10 minutes from now is not now. We will have what
right.
we need in 10 minutes. But we have to let that go. We just have to let go. It's an art. It's an art of the let go.
It is an art, and that was beautifully said, Cherry, and I appreciate you sharing that. I think sometimes we have this idea that something has gone terribly wrong if things haven't happened a certain way in our lives or in our relationships, and I think it's at least worth trying on the idea that maybe nothing is really wrong. Sure, you may be able to learn some skills and you may be able to create some new possibilities in your life, but in a lot of ways, as I look back over my life, my 43 years as being a single woman, now having gone through a breast cancer journey and certain other things, I can see that some of those things might not have been the experiences that I would have chosen if I could have said, oh yeah, sign me up for that. I have found them to be my biggest teachers, and I've found amazing gifts in them, and it's made me more of who I can be in terms of how I show up in the world, and I just think there's such value in that.
In every moment. I just read this little quote today, and I'm going to mess it up when I tell you, but it was something like, in the rain, look for the rainbow. In the dark, look for the stars. I just thought, that's so beautiful.
It
really
is
about how we frame it, how we choose to react, because that's our choice. That is truly our choice. How do we choose to react to this situation? We can let it twist us in knots. We can get sick over it. We can try and manage it. We can try and deny it or make it seem like, you know, like it doesn't exist, or we could fight it. But the truth is, it's like if we're so present with it, there's not a lot of discord around it. There's not a lot of dis-ease around it. It's just what is. And it's like, okay, this informs me that I can make another choice. Right now, I have that power. I can create whatever right now, in this moment, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody around us has a choice. Everybody in the world has choice. And you may not like what somebody else's choice is, but that doesn't mean you have to make them wrong. And like you just said so beautifully, about relationship mistakes. I don't believe there are any mistakes. I believe that everything that happens is just another piece of information of defining who you are.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you bringing this up because I think one of the things that also can happen in all aspects of our lives, not just our love lives, is we can lose sight of our own power of choice. You talked about that power of choice, how you can choose to make a choice in this moment. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that and feel like we don't have the option or the possibility of creating new things in our life and making different choices. We can get kind of stuck in our routines or our habits or whatever.
Yep, that's right. And we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
But we always know, which is crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what we don't know, but we always know. And when
yeah.
we hear that little voice saying, I don't know what to do here, we do know, but it's also a good idea when that little voice says, reach out for help, that you follow that too. You know, pick up the phone and call someone. Or whatever it is, it can be the smallest thing.
Yeah, and speaking of things we don't know, I want to give you a chance to give us some really juicy tips that will be very valuable. But before we do that, I just want to ask you one other follow-up question, which is, for you and I, Cherry, and for many other women who are listening to this call, the path to love and dating and romance was not necessarily the smoothest. I mean, you shared your experience about talking with Dr. Pat Allen and after that conversation, curling up in a ball and crying. Awful, painful, and I went through some of those curled up in a ball, painful moments too. And yet there seems to be this idea that so many of us have. I had it back when I was single. I was successful in my career. I was independent. I was strong. I thought, I don't need help or support in this area. I can figure this out. Well, after beating my head against the wall for 40 years, I figured I'd given it a good shot. But why do you think that it is that it's such a struggle for some of us? And it seems to come so naturally and easily and gracefully for some other people. That was always a big question in my mind. I thought, this seems so easy. It just seems to happen and fall into place for everyone else, but not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister was like that. Married at 21 to her boyfriend, virgin when they married, stayed still married, have two fine sons, and she always had the relationship gene that I never had. She never understood why I had problems. And she certainly, still to this day, does not understand why anyone would even come to me for a conversation. She will say, why do people need what you do? I don't get it. Why don't they just know how to have a relationship? Why do they have to talk to you?
That's great.
I wish I had me to talk to back then. You know, I'm happy I found Pat Allen to talk to and others. Here's the thing. I could go into like, okay, we're all raised to be productive and masculine as women after the women's revolution, you know, women's lib and all of that. You know, the 60s and all of this, because there's a lot of truth there. We are raised to be very masculine. I think that it goes beyond that, though. I think that there are alpha people and there are beta people, and beta people get their roles. They just get it.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they are going to grow up and get married and have 2.5 children and go to the PTA meetings, and this is what their life is, have the church and have the community and have the stuff. And we see it. It still exists. I go to the South, and it exists, and people are comfortable in this. And then about 10% of us are alpha. And what that means is we are smart and sensitive. And we can, we're typically, you know, out there. We have an energy that's attractive, and we have a lot of masculine and a lot of feminine. All right, and so
mm-hmm.
it's more complicated for an alpha person to have a relationship when it comes to love, because we're
mm-hmm.
complex. We're just not as simple as a beta person, all right?
Mm-hmm,
and I think
mm-hmm.
that's, there are about 10% of us that are just really We really have to learn some skill in order to have relationship with another human being, because when it comes to romance, because we go in with both our hands, and we have to learn how to voluntarily put one hand behind our back and make room for a dance partner.
Right.
We have to voluntarily choose that this is what we want to experience. I do single really well. I always have. I really wanted the opportunity to experience who I was in relationship with a man. I got an amazing one. Lorenzo and I were together almost 15 years. That was incredible. I had neither one of us had ever had a relationship longer than a year and a half prior. I call my dress rehearsal boyfriend, you know, 3 years, but we never lived together. I saw him once a week. We went out on a Saturday night, you know, he spent the night, and then I'd say goodbye on Sunday and off we'd go. But I never lived with anybody. I didn't know longer than a year and a half. You know, I didn't know what that was really like. So that's why I think that, that's why I think we have the problems, because, well, I won't even say problems. That's why I think we have the opportunities to create something interesting, because we're multifaceted people. And if you're anyone listening to this call, if you're getting what you and I are talking about, Michelle, you are an alpha, and you just have to know that, own it, and accept it, and then make your choices around it about how you want to experience a romance. And what you're willing to do, and parts of yourself you're willing to explore and open up to in order to have it. Because that's all it is. It's just shining a light on different parts of ourselves and bringing them to the forefront and saying, okay, sometimes it's okay, I don't have all the answers. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to just say, I don't know, you see.
Yeah.
But okay, we hide behind our, oh, I've got all the answers, oh, I've got it under control, I've got all the stuff. You know, we hide behind that. It's our mask.
Yes, and we also, we've needed to be strong and independent and self-sufficient, and we almost get a lot of pride around that, and it can serve us very well in our careers and in our professional lives. It doesn't always translate so well into our romantic lives.
No, it doesn't. It's a different skill set altogether, and you know that. Anyone who's been married knows that. Anyone who's been in dating knows that.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance, Cherry, and our time's going so quickly. I'm loving this conversation, but I want to give you an opportunity to give some really juicy, practical tips and specific tips that the women can take away. And one of the things that I know that you teach is how you can have a man tripping all over himself to meet you in less than 6 seconds, and what you do or don't do when he approaches.
Yeah, it's so key. I mean, we start a relationship before ever meeting a man. We just do, all right? So we decide in advance, do we want to pursue or do we want to be pursued? Because you cannot pursue and be pursued at the same time. So you have to pick one. A lot of people are like, well, I'll just do whatever I feel in the moment. Okay, that's fine. And consider that without a structure, you're setting yourself up for chaos. So spontaneity happens well when you know what the structure is in place. In this scenario, it's like you can't, if you want to be in a relationship, like we talked about, you have to put one hand behind your back so that you can open up to another partner. If you want to be pursued, the quickest way to get a man's attention and know if he's interested, available, and wanting to meet you is to get in his eyeballs. Wherever you are, separate yourself from the pack, pick out a cute man, get in his eyeballs, and smile for 6 seconds. And it's going to feel like 6 hours. It just is going to feel like forever. And it's going to feel so vulnerable. You're going to just feel like, oh, God, I'm inviting him over here to molest me on the spot. But that's how you know if he's interested. And when you smile at someone, when a woman smiles at a man, and she's going through her meltdown, there is another consideration, which is he's going through his. And we don't think about that. We just think about our own sweaty pits and our lip hung on our toes kind of thing. But the guy is like, oh, he's like looking around like, does she mean me? And if he's not married or dead and he's interested, he will come. He will come to you. And the good news is all you have to do is sit there and wait for him to arrive. And he is just hoping he won't trip over a chair or something before he gets to you. So
right.
When he arrives, this is another big, 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 big takeaway. Smile, bring him to you. When he comes, let him speak first. Because whoever speaks first in a relationship is the masculine, is the leader. If he speaks first, he's going to set it up so that he's leading, and all you have to do is listen and follow along. Listen and respond. Listen and respond. Now, a lot of women get very uncomfortable with not speaking, with silence. It just feels too vulnerable to just sit there and wonder if he's going to say anything. So we fill up the airspace with a lot of patter and dribble. Or we might be brave and go up and meet that cute man. But here's the thing. If a woman takes that move and makes that choice, the man's going to go like, okay, great, she's brave. She'll do the work. I can just sit back and let her do it. And he does. And what that does is, like, he might be entertained by you. He might be kind or polite to you, but he's not going to pursue you or fall in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's feminine and you choose to be the masculine leader and he brings the sensual, sexual side of the relationship, which works for many successful women, you know, to have a man that stays home and makes a great dish for dinner and massages your feet and picks flowers from the garden. You know, that works. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just make your choices. You want to find that complement to you, the energetic complement. So just to recap.
Yeah, let's recap because this is so important.
Yeah, you want a man to pursue you. You go find a cute one. You smile at him for 6 seconds. You get in his eyeballs. He comes to you. He speaks first. You listen and respond because by his speaking, he's telling you who he is and what he has to offer. You don't have to do anything except hoo-ah and answer questions. If he's interested in you, he's going to ask to see you again within 15 minutes. That's the little timetable that you can gauge it by, and it very rarely happens outside of this. So let's say that, and how he knows if he's going to ask you out is by how receptive you are to what he's offering and what he's saying, meaning you don't go competitive with him. Meaning, if he says, what do? You don't start talking about your business because now you're turning it into two men speaking. If you tell him what you enjoy doing for fun, going to the movies or the beach or whatever, and he says, oh, I like new movies and I like doing yoga and working out, you've attracted a friend. But if he says, if you say, I like going to the movies and going to the beach, and he says, well, have you seen the latest feature that's coming out? You know, it's opening Friday and I've got premiere tickets or something. then it's like he's being the man. If he says, well, have you tried this new restaurant or have you gone down to this beach or park or whatever, he's being the expert. And that you're telling him what you enjoy doing or what makes you feel good, because that's your mantra, feeling good in this whole scenario. He knows where to take you to please you, you see. So it's already setting up within the first 30 seconds if it's a date, a friendship, or a business deal. It's very precise, very precise. So you want to be mindful of who you're being.
Yeah, that's so fascinating that the whole tone of the whole relationship is set up in that initial encounter. And I think what you're saying here is so incredibly valuable and helpful. I also think it's a huge relief that you don't have to invest 2 hours conversing with a man to find out if he's interested in you, right?
You got it. That's exactly right. I mean, here's the advantage of knowing what's going on, of being informed. It's that it gives you so much more confidence and comfortability, and you don't have to work so hard. It's so much easier. The only responsibility you have for yourself is to feel good. That's it, to feel good and be present. to feel good and be present. Because if you're not present and if you don't feel good, it's going to show up as anxiety, nerves, you know what I mean? It's not going to be truthful. You're going to be out of body kind of thing, all up in your head, worrying about it. And it just, it's like stage fright. Stage fright is a result of not being fully present and enjoying the moment. And that's what dating is. Not being fully present and enjoying the moment makes it anxiety-filled. But otherwise, it's just go out and enjoy the show. Watch him. See what he entertains you with. See how he makes you feel. Hear what his offer is. See if he can make your life better than what you can do for yourself. See the value that he brings into it. And if he brings value, keep him coming around. That's a good deal. If he doesn't, say thank you. Next.
It goes along with what you were talking about earlier about getting out of your head and into your body and being able to be in the moment, right?
It's all about the moment. Everything in life is about being in that moment, being in this moment. Being in that moment. We talk about it. It's so cliche. Everybody be present, breathe. But it's really hard to practice if you don't embody it. And how you know you're in the moment, how you know, first of all, let's just do it. Breathe. So you're getting right there out of the head and down in the body. This will be quick because I know we're on a time limit. Breathe. Then find something that you're looking at right now. Just, it can be anything, on a wall, on the floor, on the ceiling, out the window, whatever. Find one thing. Breathe. Look at that thing. Notice three things about it. That will take you right to the present moment. And what you'll find is your body will relax. You won't be in your head thinking about anything that, other than what those three things are right in front of you. And the moment will be full. It'll just full. It'll be full. Almost like slow motion, full. Really simple. And that's what you can do on a date. Just breathe, look at the guy, hear him, notice him. Just notice three things about his face or his hair or his shirt or whatever. And just be with him and then see how you feel.
Yeah, I like that tip because I think it's very challenging sometimes to not be totally in our heads and overthinking and jumping 10 steps ahead when we're on a date like that, particularly in the early stages. I really appreciate that, Cherry. That's a really nice exercise and simple way to kind of shift that. I know that you really have a vision about what you do, and I want, before you share with us about your wonderful free gift, to just give us a little idea of what your vision is and why you do what you do.
I do what I do because I believe in love. I love love. And I believe that you are the star of your own love story. I love a good love story. And I believe that you get to choose the role you want to play and the story you want to tell in your love story. And I think sometimes we forget that we think, oh, it's somebody else's power to pick us or whatever. And it's not. You have it. You own it. When you own who you are, you shine. You are the star. You are the star of your love life and your life. Not the bit part, not the walk-on, not the servant girl.
Not the extra.
That's right.
Not the extra, yeah. That was very beautifully said, Cherry. It kind of gave me the chills.
Good. Yeah, but that's why I do it.
Thank you. I want to give you an opportunity to share just a little bit about your free gift, which is a wonderful How to Meet and Marry Your Man video series. And then after you tell us just a little bit about that, I'll also just let you leave us with a parting thought before we wrap up for today. And I want to thank you for being so generous with what you've shared.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for creating the space for this because it's just beautiful. I could talk to you all day. The gift is a three-part video series that walks you through how to meet a man, set it up so you know if he's romantically interested in 15 minutes and attract him in 6 seconds. And I've used actors in my three-part series to demonstrate choices that you have and what the consequences can be if you take, you know, certain choices, you make certain decisions. So you can see it played out. It's not just me talking the whole time. You can actually see it in a fun, entertaining way. The second video is about what to do on a disastrous date, because sometimes we get in situations and we're like, I thought this was going to go better, and oh gosh, I don't know what to do now. And so it's like, this is what you can do if it starts to derail, how you could like pull it back, get it back on track. And the third one is sex and commitment. You know, how do you know when, and how do you know what to say, and how do you know if he's in it with you and whatever. And like I said, I've got actors acting out a lot of this, so it's a fun, entertaining way of I think giving you some really great advice that can help you set up the relationship you want to create and get you on a very healthy and successful course from the get-go.
Thank you, Terry. I know this is such a valuable gift, and one of the things I love most about Terry is I think she helps women navigate some of the trickier situations in dating and love and romance with a lot of grace and ease. And I think that's a beautiful gift that she has to offer, and you can access that by clicking on the link right under Cherry's picture, and it will be available throughout the summit. But get it right now, because it's going to be very valuable to you. And I want to also just give you just a moment, Cherry, to just leave us with any last parting words or a last thought that you might have.
Wanting a man who doesn't want you is the best way of telling yourself you're not enough. So instead, turn it around, and if he's not into you, he's not enough for you.
Ooh, that kind of gave me the chills, too. That's very powerful. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Cherry. It's been such a lovely conversation, and I know that it'll be incredibly valuable to everyone listening. And I also want to thank all of you for joining us, for joining Cherry and I today, and hope that you'll join us for more of the event. You'll be able to listen to each of the interview replays for approximately 48 hours. And again, I invite you to check out the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering VIP and VIP Platinum packages. We're offering an incredible value here, and this special pricing is only available during the summit. And you can get all of the details at readyfortherightguy.com/VIP. Thank you for being here with us, and thank you so much, Cherry. And Cherry and I are both sending you lots of love, blessings, and wishing you happiness as you invite, inspire, and ignite the relationship of your dreams with your right guy. Bye-bye for now.